Hello, my name is Stephen Yang. I'm a PhD candidate at Stanford. Today, I'll be giving a talk on Nanolog, a nanoscale logging system that we built in C++ to help debug some of the low-latency applications in our lab. Nanolog is a new logging system that's 1 to 2 orders of magnitude faster than existing solutions out there, like Log4j2, Speedlog, or Event Tracing, all while maintaining a fairly intuitive printf-like API. The system has a throughput of up to 80 million log messages per second at a median invocation latency of just 8 nanoseconds. Nanolog achieves this insane level of performance by shifting work out of the runtime hot path and into the compilation and post-execution phases of the application. More specifically, it slims down user log invocations by extracting static components at compile time, rewrites the logging code to emit only dynamic information at runtime, and then relies on the post-processor to re-inflate the logs, but only if necessary. More on that later. And what this buys us is the ability to log in more detail, log more often, and even do it in production where application response times are critical. But the system does come at the cost of requiring about 0.5 MB of RAM per user thread, 1 core for processing, and reliable disk bandwidth is a must. But before we begin, let me first clarify what logging means in the context of this talk. When I say logging, I mean log messages that are output by the application as a result of the developer specifying printf-like statements in the code. So, for example, on the left side of the slide, I have an application with 2 log messages, one at line 2 to indicate that a task began, and one at line 5 to indicate the result of the task. When the application executes, the 2 statements run, and it generates a log file similar to something what we have on the right. Each log statement produces a line of output that specifies when and where the log message occurred, along with the original message specified by the developer. And the logging system typically fills in the context of information, like the time and file location, so the developer only has to worry about the severity and the log message. So when I say that I've built a logging system that's 1 to 2 orders of magnitude faster, I mean that the code on the left executes significantly faster, and the log file on the right is deferred to a post-processor. And so at this point, you may be wondering, why logging? Why is it important? Well, logging is an extremely important role, plays an extremely important role in debugging. It affords you visibility into what an application is doing at runtime and is an incredibly useful tool for root cause analysis or tracing what went wrong after an execution. And it's becoming even more important in the data center where there are so many interlocking processes and timing dependencies that it may not make sense to debug these systems in any other way, like with GDB. This is so important, in fact, that there was an interesting conversation we had with a Google employee a year or two ago whereby he stated that everything at Google must be instrumented at the request level, or they simply won't use it. However, the unfortunate fact is that logging is fairly expensive. In the systems that I've measured, the median invocation latency for the operation is on the order of hundreds of nanoseconds, and in some cases, microseconds. While this wouldn't have been too bad a decade ago where millisecond response times dominated, it's definitely becoming a problem now as we move towards more granular computing, whereby interesting computation is taking less and less time, and thus the overhead of logging is increasing. And so that begs the question, what makes logging so slow? Well, software overheads aside, the 2 most expensive operations in a logging platform are formatting the log message and outputting the formatted log message. So take, for example, this typical log message taken from the RAMCloud project. For context, the logger has to format the time, the file name, the line number, the function, and the severity level associated with the log message, along with the original message with its own specifiers. In total, that's 7 parameters it has to format, and even running it in a tight loop with O3 optimizations in C++, this operation alone takes 850 nanoseconds. And then after all that work, the message still needs to be output on the disk or over the network, which on a 250 megabyte per second disk, this 129 byte message will take about 500 nanoseconds to output. This means, end-to-end, this single log message will take at least 1.3 microseconds. And so that begs the question, can we improve on either of these operations? Well, trivially, yes. You could just get faster hardware, and these operations will naturally get faster. But I think there's even more tricks we can play. But I think there are a few tricks we can play to squeeze out even more performance. First, let me ask a simple but surprisingly deceptive question. Does it even make sense to output the logs immediately in a human-readable format? Or can we get away with outputting it in the intermediate binary format and then deferring format to a laser point? I mean, if you think about it, a lot of logs in production aren't even read by humans. They're almost always first consumed by computers, whether it be to aggregate a few key metrics and then or filter out error conditions. And then when something goes wrong, do developers actually come back and look at the log message? So it seems like outputting it in a human-readable format eagerly is a little bit wasteful in the normal case. And secondly, on the I/O front, notice that there's actually a lot of information in the log message that's known at compile time. For example, in this log message, the file position, function, severity level, and even most of the user format message is known at compile time. The only portions of this log message that's dynamic is the time at the front and the 0.4 double at the end. Trivially, if we just outputted just these two numbers, that would shrink our 129-byte message to just 29 bytes. And if we take it a step further and do it in binary, well, then that's 8 bytes per parameter or 16 bytes total. So then with these thoughts in mind, could we build a system that would speed up logging by shifting work out of the runtime? Well, yes, I've built Nanolog, so let's talk about it. So this is a simplified architecture of Nanolog. How it differs from traditional logging systems is that it uses a preprocessor to modify the user sources at compile time, emits a compact binary log at runtime, and then uses a decompressor to reinterpret that log at post-execution. So going through it all, we start with the user sources on the top left, and they contain printf-like log statements. When you want to compile, the Nanolog preprocessor will take in your sources and separate out the static and dynamic, take your sources, extract all the static information into a dictionary, and then rewrites the log statements to log only the dynamic information before passing it to GCC for compilation. At runtime, on the bottom left now, the application interacts with the Nanolog library to output the dictionary of static information just once at the beginning of the log, which then frees up all subsequent log invocations to log only the dynamic information. The special log file can then be passed into a post-processor or decompressor to make it human-readable again. So now, let's go to the system in more detail, stepping through how an application might interact with an analog system. As I mentioned earlier, the primary role of the Nanolog preprocessor is to extract as much information as possible from the log messages and replace the log invocations with more optimized code. So stepping through the process, the original source is in the top left. It's just a simple program that prints hello world, followed by a random number. After going through the preprocessor, it looks a little bit something like what we have on the right here. Where the preprocessor found a hello world invocation and injected a function to perform the minimum amount of work needed for this log message, which is to save a symbolic identifier referring to the static information, the time of invocation, and the log's argument, that random number. And then it replaces the original log invocation down there in line 16 or so with a call to this function instead. The preprocessor then takes in all the static information associated with this log message and generates a function to output the dictionary entry mapping the symbolic reference to the static information. And this can be seen on the bottom left, where the log message's format, string, file name, line number, and severity are inlined directly into the code. And going back to the broader picture, the dictionary function on the left is used by the application to generate the dictionary at the very beginning of the log, and the function on the right generates the dynamic log data that follows. Okay. After this transformation is done to all the sources, they're passed into GCC to generate the user application. Now that we have our binary, let's execute it and see what happens in the runtime hot path. Whenever the application threads execute the generated log code, they push dynamic data into some buffers, and a background thread will come by, pull the buffers, and output the contents to the disk. The main consideration for this component is speed. How do we achieve low latency? Well, first, we isolate the application threads from each other by using per-thread buffer queues, and this allows multiple threads to put data in the buffers without synchronization in the normal case. Then, to avoid signaling costs, the logging threads also don't notify the background thread that there's data and instead relies on the background thread to pull for it. With these two techniques, synchronization only needs to occur when either the buffer is first created or the background thread can't keep up and the buffers fill up. Speaking of the background thread not being able to keep up, the story gets a little bit more interesting with I/O. On the one hand, I/O is expensive, so we should try to compress the data as much as possible to reduce the I/O time. But if we spend too much time on compression, then the buffers will back up again and latency will increase. So the compromise here is only to do rudimentary compaction, such as only recording deltas or finding the smallest byte representation for integers. And this results in a file that's much smaller with minimal computation. And you can refer to the paper to see some of the techniques that we use. Okay, so at this point, we executed the user application and it generated a compact log file on the right. Now let's see what we can do with it. The final component of the NanoLog is the post-processor, or decompressor. And its primary purpose is to reconstitute the log data by parsing the dictionary at the beginning of the file and interpreting the dynamic log data that follows. In other words, it recombines the static information we separate at compile time with the dynamic information we generate at runtime. And there are two ways to use the decompressor. Use it as a standalone application, it will just reconstitute the full human-readable log message. And it ultimately pays the two costs we've deferred so far, which are formatting the log message and outputting the message in its full format. The decompressor also offers a programmatic API to consume the log messages without formatting them first. With this API, you can process log messages one by one and query its static and dynamic information, which is way more efficient than parsing in ASCII. And we'll have a micro benchmark later to show the benefits of doing so. Okay, so to summarize, the NanoLog system rips out the static information at compile time, injects code to log only the essentials at runtime, and then users can run an offline executable to make the log human readable again. This shifts computation out of the runtime hot path and into the compilation and post-execution phases. Okay, on to the more interesting portion of the benchmark, the talk, benchmarks. How do the techniques that we've talked about actually perform? Well, for these tests, we're running on an Intel Xeon Quad core processor with hyperthreading. The machine has 24 gigabytes of RAM, and more importantly, an SSD that manages about 250 megabytes per second in write throughput. All the logging systems I measured against were configured to output the log messages with the time and date, file name, line number, severity, and thread ID associated with the log invocation, and looks a little bit something like what I have in the middle of the slide. This also adds an extra 50 bytes or so to traditional logging systems that have the full human-readable log. Oh, and also the benchmarks I'm about to show are all in the paper, but they might be simplified here to save some time. Okay, so the first thing we did was we measured the throughput of NanoLog versus existing logging systems like SpeedyLog, Log4j2, and Event Tracing for Windows. In this experiment, we repeatedly log one message back-to-back with no delay in a single thread, and then ramped up the number of logging threads until the peak throughput was reached for each system. We then repeated the experiment for three different log messages, and the results are shown on the figure to the left. On the y-axis, we have the throughput in million of log messages per second, so higher is better. The clusters of bars represent different log messages used, with a table below describing what they are. In the table below, the center column shows you what the log messages were verbatim, with the underlined portions indicating dynamic data. And finally, the different colors in the graph represent different logging systems, with NanoLog being in purple. And the thing to notice is that NanoLog is consistently faster than the other systems by 3 to 140x, depending on the log message used. And the primary reason for this is we're logging at such a high rate that all the systems, including NanoLog, fill up their internal buffers and have to flush to disk. And since NanoLog's output is both in binary and compacted versus the ASCII of the other systems, NanoLog performs significantly better. And digging a little bit deeper, we find that NanoLog performs even better with fewer dynamic log arguments. And this makes sense since the primary speedup mechanism for NanoLog is removing the static data. So it performs the best when the log messages are completely static, which is the leftmost bar, the worst when it contains a lot of dynamic information, which is the center cluster, which contains a large 39-byte string, and the rightmost column is what we consider average, where the user logs a few numbers. Overall, NanoLog is pretty performant. Now let's look at latency. Next, we wanted to measure the time delay experienced by the application when it invokes the logging API. To do this, we measured the time to log the same three log messages from before, but this time with only a single thread and a 650 nanosecond delay between each log message to ensure that there's no blocking due to I/O. In the table below, the left chunk of numbers show the median latency, and the right chunk of numbers show the 99.9th percentile latency. And NanoLog is the column that's in bold. And the thing to notice is that NanoLog is extremely fast. In all cases, its invocation latency is over an order of magnitude faster than the other systems. At the median, NanoLog only takes around 7 to 8 nanoseconds per log message, whereas the other systems start at least 160, a pretty big difference. At the 99.9th percentile latency, NanoLog still maintains a latency within a couple tens of nanoseconds, while these systems are all over the place, sometimes dipping in the multiple microseconds. And comparing the two sides, one cool thing to notice is that even at the 99.9th percentile latency, NanoLog is still faster than the medians of the other systems. Pretty cool, right? Okay, so at this point, you may be thinking, great, you have micro benchmarks, but how does NanoLog actually perform in a real system with a real workload? So to answer this question, we took an open source low latency key value store, RAMCloud, and replaced its internal logger with either NanoLog or SpeedyLog. We then measured the performance of RAMCloud with RAMCloud's own benchmarks and enabled all existing verbose logging and instrumentation already in RAMCloud. In other words, we didn't add any new log statements or benchmarks of our own. And on the bottom left, we have the throughput of RAMCloud with different logging systems, and on the right, we have the same for latency. The two clusters represent read-write performance, and the different colors represent the different systems. Yellow is the baseline, which is NanoLog with no logging. Purple is NanoLog, green is SpeedyLog, and orange is using RAMCloud's internal logger. All the results are normalized to RAMCloud with logging completely disabled, i.e. the yellow bar. And the thing to notice is that NanoLog performs pretty much the best in all cases. On the left, NanoLog retains 98% of the write throughput performance, while all the other systems drop it to less than half. With read throughput, still on the left, NanoLog drops it a bit more down to 81% of the original, but that's far better than SpeedyLog dropping it down to a tenth of the original, making the system practically unusable. And on the right, we have the normalized latency, and it shows a similar story. NanoLog only imposes a 3% increase in the read-write latency, while all the other systems increase it by at least 55%. Overall, NanoLog imposes a minimal impact when compared to traditional logging systems, even when integrated into low-latency applications. Okay, so far we've seen the benefits of NanoLog at runtime. What about at post-execution? Well, I made the claim earlier that NanoLog's compact binary logs are great for analytics or consumption by computers. So to demonstrate this, I created a benchmark that would mimic what an analytics application might do, which is find all instances of the log message matching hello world, followed by a random number, and then performing a min, min, max aggregation on that random number. And I implemented this benchmark in one of four ways. Once with the NanoLog decompressor API, which operated directly on the compact binary logs, and then once in C++, Awk, and Python, which operated on the full human-readable logs. And the results are shown in the figure to the left. Here, the y-axis measures the average amount of time to process a single log message, so lower is better. The different clusters of bars represent how often the target log message appeared in the log file. So, for example, 100% would mean that the log file is nothing but hello worlds. And the different bars represent different systems, with NanoLog being in purple again. And the primary thing to notice is NanoLog is significantly faster. It has an average processing time of just 44 nanoseconds per log message versus at least 350 by the other methods. And the primary speed of this comes from NanoLog's compact binary logs, which are both smaller in size, about a tenth of the original, and already contain the data in the binary format, meaning we don't have to perform expensive ASCII parsing to ascertain the value. Overall, NanoLog's compact binary logs has benefits that extend beyond the runtime and also show great promise for analytics as well. And that's all the time I have for benchmarks. Before I start concluding, there is one more thought I would like to leave you with, which is, while I spent most of the time talking about the C++ implementation of NanoLog, the ideas of NanoLog are actually quite portable. The preprocessor can be modified to support any language that uses compiled log messages, so like Java, and the formatting can be deferred. Furthermore, the deduplication of static log information that we did in the preprocessor doesn't necessarily need to occur at compile time, and it can be done at runtime with a small performance penalty. In fact, there's going to be an implementation of NanoLog coming to the GitHub repository in the next month or so that uses C++ 17 features instead of preprocessor to achieve the similar goals. The only limitation of NanoLog is it does require some portion of the log message to be static, so dynamically generated log messages don't work that well. And so, in conclusion, NanoLog is a new logging system that's over an order of magnitude faster than existing logging systems. It speeds up logging by using a preprocessor to remove all the static information at compile time, and injects succinct logging code to log only the dynamic information at runtime, and it defers the formatting of for log messages to a post-execution application. The benefits of using the system is that it's extremely performant at runtime and can provide fast aggregations at post-execution. The only caveat is that you might not have your logs immediately in a human-readable format. Nanolog is also open source, so you can give the system a try at github.com/platformapp/nanolog, and you can email me with any questions on the slide if we can't get to it at the end of this talk. And so with that, I'll open the floor up for questions and comments.
Hi, Matt Stock, Limelight Networks. So there's two classes of logs that I'm typically interested in. One is debugging logs, and obviously that's where your focus has been. I'm kind of curious to see if you had done any investigation on essentially transaction logs. So think like an Apache transaction log file where there's a significantly larger component of dynamic content because, you know, I mean, debugging, we can turn on and off, and in some cases we can sandbox, you know, we can investigate, but that doesn't change the flow of these transaction logs, which typically we need to hold on to. So I was wondering if you'd done any investigation there.
Not thoroughly is the answer. You're right that dynamic information does perform significantly worse with Nanolog, but I'm pretty sure that in most cases it'll still perform better than having just the raw log statements because it'll still extract a lot of the static content.
Great.
All right, thank you.
Jim Longino, Future Way Technologies. Nice work. I have a question. So you said that when you store the log messages, you do it per thread, and that makes sense to avoid any locking and all these kind of things. But is there like an option or a mode where you can actually interleave messages from different threads, which could be very useful to debug like inter-thread interactions and things like that?
Right. So first of all, you're right. At runtime, they do go into individual buffers, and they are output into the log file, like thread 1, thread 2, then thread 3, and so on. But we defer the work of also sorting the log messages to the post-processor. So when you start consuming the log message, you will actually consume them in order.
So that relies on using very accurate timers?
Yes. So we
what do you use for timer then?
We use the Intel TSC, so the timestamp counter inside the Intel processors.
Okay, so this is basically a base counter then, not a real timer.
Yes, but you can measure it and map it to real time.
Right. All right, thank you.
I'm curious, though. So I really enjoy this work, like a lot of us. I've built logging systems for various systems I've built. It makes a lot of sense you did all this work once you decided to pursue this problem. Was there some particular issue that you were facing, your group was facing, that led to this need to, you know, kill the log throughput problem?
Well, throughout the talk, I keep mentioning that there's this project called RAMCloud, and it's my advisor's previous project. And I had to also debug that system. And it's a low-latency system, so the read operation is complete in like 5 or so microseconds, which means adding just a single log statement anywhere in the code would bog down performance, and sometimes the system would crash through the number of logs, or it slows down to a point where the bug no longer appears because everything's going so slow. So I sort of developed this log statements to make my own life easier when working with RAMCloud.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.